It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Mental health in Iowa, that's the focus of this half hour. In the budget he released last week, Governor Branstad quietly cut funding for two of the state's four mental health institutes. Now, that would mean losing more than half of the inpatient psychiatric beds in the southern third of the state. Later in the hour, we'll talk with Rick Schultz of the Iowa Department of Human Services. Joining us, first of all, though, Nancy Hale, Executive Director of the Iowa Chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI. Nancy Hale, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Ben.
Help us understand, especially those of us who've had no contact with these types of institutes, what these institutes are there for.
They are there primarily for acute treatment of someone that is extremely ill. Usually they are there as in a committal situation, which has been precipitated by symptoms that where the person is really either a threat to themselves or a threat to somebody else. And they are usually probably in the middle of a psychotic break or just starting a psychotic break when they're hospitalized as an MHI.
So these are for some of the most serious cases you have with mental health issues.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. What's your reaction to this? Well, it startled lawmakers, too, startled everybody, this surprise funding cut in the budget of the governor.
I think this is an extremely important issue. It has, and I think first and foremost, we need to keep in mind that what the legislature and the governor need to do is keep in mind what is best for the people of Iowa. That said, this is a very complex, multifaceted issue. The MHIs in Iowa are extremely old. They are very costly to maintain, even though maybe they are only budgeted to staff for 27, maybe 47 beds. The entire property needs to be maintained, and so really a big, big black hole for money. Plus, they are not new and particularly pleasant surroundings for somebody that is ill. I think that they have a number of big issues. One is cost and the expense that I just mentioned. Then you also, because this is such a politically sensitive situation, you have, with the closing of those two facilities, you have the loss of jobs, which if you're taking 80 jobs out of a smaller community, that might not mean much in Polk County, but in a county like Henry County, that's a lot of jobs. So it's a very politically sensitive issue to close a mental health institute. The other thing for families and for those that are friends and supporters of people that are ill that are in those mental health institutes is that closing those two means a very, very long drive to see somebody. And it is getting support and being able that family visit that is so important when you are so terribly, terribly ill. If you had a heart attack and you were in the hospital, you would want to see your relatives. And it's no different for somebody that has a brain disorder that is really, really ill. So limiting that to only Independence and Cherokee becomes a huge issue. Another facet of this very complex problem is that there are not enough acute beds, that there are, and the sheriffs in the counties will tell you this is a huge issue. They get a committal and there are no empty beds. And so they might drive to Clarinda because they've been told that there is an empty bed. And by the time they get there, the bed is gone.
There seems to be somewhat of a discrepancy there. I understand that numbers suggest that the population in these institutes is down. There are usually plenty of open beds.
I mean, there are beds there, but they are not staffed beds.
I see. A bed without a staff person to look after the person that would be in the bed is not really a bed. Is that what you're saying?
No, it is not really a bed.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're hearing that community care facilities, also home care, can pick up some of the slack and, in fact, can be better in many ways than putting someone in one of these institutes. Do you see challenges associated with that?
Yes, I do. I think that there are always, it's a rainbow. It is a bell-shaped curve, and for the people that are really, really ill, they need very intense care, which cannot always be delivered in a community. That doesn't mean that after a week or so of very intense care that they can, that doesn't mean that they can't go to a step-down situation. There are some people that a community-based situation can be better, but you will always have a certain percentage that will need extremely intensive care for a certain amount of time.
You've mentioned that these old-style state institutes are extremely expensive. So what is the solution as far as you see? If I understand that in the governor's budget there are these cuts, but details have not been worked out. What do you want to highlight in perhaps having the people who do work out these details understand?
I think the biggest issue is having a transition plan that's valid. And I think that that's something that hasn't been mentioned. What I have heard is that they intend to not have, is to decrease admissions. And then...
Does that mean more mentally ill people out on the street?
It could. It means that it might be a while before a sheriff is able to pick somebody up. And this is something that is not just here in Iowa. I've actually talked to the executive director for Kansas, NAMI Kansas, and he said they have the same problem in their state, not enough acute beds. I think that, you know, it's one thing to stop admissions to those MHIs, but there has been no mention of a transition plan. I think that something that would be important to look at is doing what some other states have done, which is to have a number of smaller facilities all across the state that are easily accessible to families and friends. 16-bed units, that's what Minnesota does. But then they're more accessible, so the person isn't very far from home, and they can see their family.
As the news of this has, as we said at the outset, that the governor quietly cut the fundings for these, the two of the four mental health institutes in Iowa in the southern third of the state, have you been hearing reaction as executive director of the Iowa chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Health? Mental health providers been getting in touch with you, or families concerned, people concerned, Iowans concerned?
Iowans are concerned. This has been an ongoing discussion over the years, I would say over the last 5 years, where people have been concerned about those particular institutes being closed. And so this has been kind of actually an ongoing discussion.
Mm-hmm. So these cuts were not a surprise to you and many others in the mental health area?
No, I don't think so. I think that it was a matter of time before something would change. The fact that there was, you know, it was very quietly done. But like I said, it can be a very politically charged issue. And I think you've seen that with some of the comments, at least in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm. What do you see as the political dimensions of this? I know that's not really NAMI's role here to get into the politics of it, but what do you see there?
I don't think this is really a partisan issue. I think that the politics of it are that no one likes having a business closed or a facility closed within their area because of the job loss, which is very understandable. Like I said, this is a multifaceted problem.
And I understand that this comes out, the announcement of this budget cut comes out at a time when NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Health here in Iowa, is moving. You're in the throes of moving house?
Oh, we are.
Yeah, from where to?
Oh, that's all right.
From where to where?
Oh, we're moving from Meredith Drive down, further down on Merle Hay Road.
Okay. And that is the only place in Iowa where NAMI is represented?
No, we have 12 affiliates and a number of support groups and just a number of general members all across the state. Actually, we're in a growth period.
You say a growth period. How are you growing? What do you mean?
We have had an increase in the number of people that have been taking our classes. We had a growth of about 25% this last year in the number of people that took our classes. And we've had a huge growth in the number of people that were trained as teachers. and as support group facilitators, so that we are really trying to get our signature educational programs out there.
Mm-hmm. What's the reason for all this growth?
I think that people are finally stepping forward and saying, hey, I have an ill relative. I think that we're seeing a slight shift in how people publicly view mental illness and brain disorders. And I think people are more willing to get help. Plus, we have made a concerted effort to get our, you know, make sure that people know our classes are available.
All right, very good. Nancy Hale, thank you for joining us, Executive Director of the Iowa Chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Nancy Hale, thanks for your time.
Sure. Thank you, Ben.
Mental health in Iowa, the focus of this half hour of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. If you missed our first half of this, we were talking about the fact that the governor cut funding for two of the state's four mental health institutes in the latest budget released last week. That would mean losing more than half of the inpatient psychiatric beds in the southern third of the state. So as we understand it, to close would be the two institutes, mental health institutes, or MHIs, in Mount Pleasant and Clarinda. We would still have in the northern part of the state the Independence and Cherokee Institutes. Joining us now to give us another perspective, Rick Schultz is Mental Health and Disability Services Division Administrator at the Iowa Department of Human Services. Rick Schultz, welcome to our program.
Good morning, Ben.
Good afternoon to you. Now, let's talk a little bit about the plans. I don't know if these are all fleshed out, given that these budget cuts were just announced last week. What can you tell us about how this cut will be implemented?
Well, as you mentioned, we are looking at a realignment of our services that are provided in our mental health institutes in Iowa. And part of that is the recommendation included in the governor's budget that there would not be funding for the Clarinda and Mount Pleasant facilities beginning July 1, 2015. That's state fiscal year 16. But that's only part of it. The other part is that there are funds available to shift a capacity for adult inpatient psychiatric hospital beds to our Independence facility, our Independence Mental Health Institute. And we are working very closely with the Department of Public Health, as well as coordinating with the discussions with the University of Iowa to ensure that we have adequate inpatient psychiatric beds. And then finally, there are funds that are made available in our Iowa Medicaid enterprise for services for individuals that are in the general psychiatric programs.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a, yep. a full realignment of our system.
Okay, a few follow-up questions here. Why those two facilities in Mount Pleasant and Clarinda? Why will they close in July?
Well, this is consistent with recommendations that were made over several decades under previous administrations and legislators. We've looked at realignment in Iowa in years past. And there have been recommendations, for example, at the request of the legislature to identify a facility, and Mount Pleasant was identified at one point. Consultants over the years have recommended realignment through both facilities. And so as was mentioned in the earlier segment, this is something has been discussed previously.
Mm-hmm. Tell us, does this mean in Iowa as a whole, a loss of inpatient beds for adult psychiatric patients?
No, it won't. What's important to recognize is that the programs at our Clarinda Mental Health Institute and Mount Pleasant Mental Health Institute are made up of a couple of specialty programs. The smaller part of the program are the acute inpatient psychiatric hospital programs. At Clarinda, we have, as of today, eight individuals or as of last Thursday, I believe, 8 individuals in our adult inpatient psychiatric hospital program, and in Mount Pleasant we had 6 in the same program. But there are other programs operated at these facilities that are not quite the same as that type of program. For example, in Clarinda, we have 17 individuals in a geropsychiatric program, which is more of a long-term intensive care program for individuals that have geriatric challenges as well as psychiatric challenges. Would not be the same as what you would ordinarily think of as acute inpatient psychiatric hospital.
Okay, we have just a few minutes left. I want to make sure the Southern Iowa will have these two mental health institutes shut down in Mount Pleasant and Clarinda. Doesn't that put the people living in Southern Iowa at a disadvantage when it comes to services, specifically inpatient adult psychiatric treatment?
Well, what we'd want to do is to work very closely with all of the other hospitals that are available to provide inpatient psychiatric services and ensure that we have adequate access to those services in the various areas.
You mentioned the University of Iowa. Would this put more does the University of Iowa have capacity for that? Do they have inpatient psychiatric service?
Yes, the University of Iowa has inpatient psychiatric services, and of course, there are demands on their services as well, which is why overall we're not reducing the adult inpatient hospital psychiatric capacity by transferring that to our independence facility. So there would continue to be a need for adult acute inpatient hospital psychiatric services, and the current capacity of the system would continue.
With the closing of these two facilities, how would that affect the services provided by communities, community services or county-based services?
Well, I would say that the mental health and disability services regions, which have been developed during 2014, are developing services to ensure that core mental health services are available across the state and meet statewide standards. And they've been working very diligently in that effort. I think in addition to that, I would want to point out that we have our Iowa Health and Wellness Plan that now covers nearly 120,000 individuals. As many as 9,000 of those individuals receive covered mental health and substance abuse services each month through the Iowa Health and Wellness Plan, and that is an expansion of services for individuals that were uninsured or underinsured previously. So there has been a significant effort to increase and sustain our community-based mental health services.
Time for a quick question. A caller for Rick Schultz, Mental Health and Disability Services Administrator at the Iowa Department of Human Services. We have him for about 5 more minutes. Jerry, is it, in Iowa City? Hello, Jerry.
Hi.
Hi.
I was a former psychiatric social worker,
mm-hmm.
and I have noticed that in almost all the instances where there have been mass shootings, that the parents had tried to get help for their young person, and there hadn't been beds. And in Virginia, that state senator had known his son was in trouble, took him to an emergency room, was told there were no beds. He took him up to the cabin so he couldn't hurt anybody, and he stabbed his father and shot himself. And I just think this is very short-sighted.
Short-sighted to close these institutions?
Yes.
Okay, Jerry, thank you for that
okay.
call from Iowa City. React to that, Rick Schultz. Of course, that's the nightmare scenario.
That is a nightmare scenario, and nothing that we would want anyone to live through. Which is why we're not reducing our capacity in that area. I would point out that as people think of the Mount Pleasant facility, that a large number of individuals at the Mount Pleasant facility are receiving substance abuse residential treatment. So as we're thinking about the number of beds at that facility, a significant number of those individuals are receiving substance abuse treatment, not necessarily mental health treatment. And we are working with the Iowa Department of Public Health to ensure that level of substance abuse service is available to the people that were otherwise going to that facility.
The Affordable Care Act requires, it will mean that we have an increased number of people who didn't previously have coverage, who are accessing services, including mental health services, through a private provider that's paid for by Medicaid. How will this expected increase be dealt with, especially with these cuts in mind?
Well, those were the numbers that I was sharing with you a minute ago about 9,000 more people a month accessing mental health and substance abuse services through our Iowa Health and Wellness Plan, which is part of the Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm. And so how will these increased numbers be dealt with again?
Well, they're receiving the mental health, community-based mental health services, and so they have access to those services and have the potential for the kind of preventive and intensive outpatient therapy that would reduce the likelihood that they may experience that acute serious mental illness that you heard about earlier, and reduce the demand for that inpatient psychiatric service.
Quickly, before we have to go, other options being discussed. I understand the Board of Regents.
Well, we're consulting with the with the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics to ensure that we are looking at all of the possible ways in which mental health services can be effectively and efficiently delivered in Iowa, and talking with them about what other options there might be and how we can continue to work together.
Rick Schultz is Mental Health and Disability Services Division Administrator at the Iowa Department of Human Services. Rick Schultz, thanks for your time.
You bet. Thank you.
Tomorrow on this program, Politics Wednesday, of course, tonight, the State of the Union address by the president, and also the GOP rebuttal by Iowa's new senator, Joni Ernst. We'll be dissecting that tomorrow with our political analysts. I hope you'll tune in. Claire Roth produced this program, along with Emily Woodbury and Lindsay Moon. Catherine Perkins is our executive producer. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.